Okay, good morning, Rabbi Say, and welcome once again. Thank everyone for coming. The topic of today's shiur, Parshas Tetzava, I was thinking this is the third year that we're having this shiur, but usually when it falls out Parshas Tetzava, it's close to Purim, so I've usually copped out from the difficult Parsha to relate to our times and spoken about Purim, but it's too far off in the horizon. So we needed to stretch a little bit. Parshas Tetzava speaks essentially about the big day kahuna, about the clothing of the Kohanim. But the Torah says that the clothing that were made for the Kohanim, the special begadim, were l'chavod l'safaris. They were for the honor and the glory of the Kohen. And thus, we could at least push it a little bit and say that we could speak about topics pertaining to the honor that's coming to a Kohen, even bizman hazeh, even in our times. Now, the basis really for such a shir would be a pasuk which we find in the beginning of Parshas Emor, when the Torah speaks about the Kohen. So the Torah says, v'kidashto, you should sanctify the Kohen, you should give him special treatment. We'll see in the Gemara. Ki eslechem elokecha hu makriv, because he is the one who is bringing your karbanos. He's the one who's bringing the karbanos to Hashem, and therefore he should be treated in a special way. So that's really going to be the underlying basis for the shir today. But as I say, we could say it has a shayfus, it has a connection to Parshas Tetzava, because also, the parasha also speaks about the covet of the Kohanim. So the source for pretty much everything that pertains in this inyan is found in a Gemara Maseches Gittin, as a Mishnah, and a Gemara beginning on Daf Nun Tes Amid Aleph. We have it here on the sheet on page 1. The Mishnah begins, Eilu Dvarim Amru Mipnei Darkei Sholom. The Mishnah says that the following list of things were institutionalized by the rabbis in the sake of keeping the peace. Mipnei darkei shalom, there were different enactments, rabbinic enactments that were made in order to ensure that the peace be preserved in the Klal Yisrael. And the first thing that the Mishnah lists off is Kohen Korei Rishon, Ba'achar of Levi, Ba'achar of Yisrael, Mipnei darkei shalom. That when we have the Kriyas HaTorah, when we have the reading of the Torah, so the order is always, the standard order of the Kriyas HaTorah is, the Kohen gets the first Aliyah, and then a Levi, and then a Yisroel. Now, what would have been had it not been for this Mishnah? In other words, the Mishnah is telling us, this is the way we do it, so we never stop to consider what should have been otherwise. So what should have been otherwise would be that since you're dealing here with the honor of being called up to the Torah, so it should have been on the basis of the person's prestige, the person's godless. In other words, the greater Talmud Chacham presumably would be given the honor of the first Aliyah, and so on and so forth. That's what would have been. However, the rabbis enacted that it should not be that way, but rather a Kohen should always be called up to the first Aliyah, and if there is a Levi there, then we call up a Levi, and then a Yisroel. This is the Mishnah, the opening of the Mishnah of items that were instituted mipnei darkei shalom. So now, if we go further on the first sheet into the text of the Gemara on Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis, where I have the B marked off, so the Gemara gets into the discussion of why should it be that the Kohen gets the first Aliyah. So they offered, in other words, what would be the source for this? Now the Mishnah had already said it's because of Darkei Shalom, but apparently the Gemara is looking for a biblical source. So the Gemara says, Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Mehocha. Rav Chiya bar Abba says that we get it from the following pasuk, V'kidashto, that you should sanctify the Kohen, L'chol Dover Shebikdusha. For anything, any holy matter should be, the Kohen should get the preferential treatment. Continues the Gemara, Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, V'kidashto, L'chol Dover Shebikdusha, same idea. What does that entail? It means, L'ftoach Rishon, L'varech Rishon, L'ito Mani Yofa Rishon. What it means is, the Gemara says that the Kohen should be given, he should be given the first one if there's a group of coming together of people to speak, so some sort of, that people are going to say Divrei Torah, so the Kohen should be the one who gets to speak first. The Kohen should be the one to make the bracha first. And the Kohen should be given the choice if there's a choice of selecting different portions, the Kohen should go first. So I'd like to go through these one by one to see exactly what they mean. Okay, let's start with Levarech Tchilu. The Gemara says that he should be given the opportunity to say the bracha. The Kohen should be given the opportunity to say the bracha first. What bracha is it referring to? So this means, the way the Mefarshim and the Poskim say, this means that a Kohen should be given the honor if a bracha is being made on behalf of a group. The Kohen should be given the honor of saying that bracha. Now, most commonly, this is practiced when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, when it comes to benching, that the Kohen is given the honor to bench, but it's by no means limited to that. For example, at a Shabbos meal, if you had a group of people, and the question was, who's going to recite the Kiddush on behalf of everybody, you should give the Kohen to say Kiddush. Right? If a bracha was being made, a different bracha that was being made for the group, the Kohen should be the one who gets that treatment. Okay? And, of course, Birchas HaMazon. So, this is the idea of Levarech Tchila, that the Kohen should be given this honor. Now, the question is, should this honor be given to the Kohen at all costs, or is this just is it situational? So if we look here at the, if you turn over to the second sheet here, okay, we have the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Yud Dalet. The Shulchan Aruch says, and by the way, I would like to say that I am indebted to Rav Daniel Neustadt and one of his svarim for giving me some of the sources for this year. So in Sif Yud Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. The Shulchan Aruch says, Im hamesubim rabim, the Shulchan Aruch says that if there are many people sitting at a table, gadol shebekulam botzeya, then we give the honor of breaking bread. The one who starts off the meal should be given to the greatest of the people, to the one who is the greatest person. How do you determine that exactly? It's hard to know, but presumably it would be by a person who is learned and so forth, a person who has ma'asim tovim, good deeds. Says the Ramah, he says, "Ve'im hem shavim, ve'echad mehem kohen, mitzvah la'akdimo." If the people are of equal stature, and one of them happens to be a kohen, so then it is a mitzvah to give the kohen the first crack at it. However, ve'im kohen amoretz, however, if the kohen is not a learned person, then Talmud Chacham kodem lo. Then the Talmud Chacham would precede him. Im HaKohen gam kein Talmud Chacham. However, if the Kohen is also a Talmud Chacham, Elishu Pachas min Hasheni, just that the other fellow is a greater scholar, so then Tov Lakdimo. So then it would still be better to give the Kohen to go first, Avoim Chiyav B'Dover. So in other words, what we see here is an interesting thing. What we see here is that the idea of giving the Kohen the first shot when it comes to saying a bracha or leading the meal, it's not, in this situation, it's not an absolute. It would depend on who else is in attendance. And therefore, if you had other people, if you had somebody else there who was a great scholar, and the Kohen was, let's say, not of that caliber, so then that other person would go first. Which means, practically speaking, that if you have in shul, so the rabbi of the shul is sitting, let's say, by Shalashuddis or by Kiddush or something like that, and it comes time to make Kiddush, so he does not have to get the consent of the Kohen, unless the Kohen is a person who's equally or great or more learned than this rabbi. But presumably that's not going to be the case. The rabbi of the shul is the great scholar. So therefore, in that situation, No consent of the Kohen is needed. And thus, when they say, for example, the benching, so we know that when we start off the benching, the person who leads the Zimun always says, Birshus, Moranan, Rabbanan, Rabbosai. So if there would be a Kohen present, you should really give it to the Kohen. Okay? Now, if the Rav is the one who is going to bench, he does not have to confer with the Kohen first, nor does he need to say, Birshus HaKohanim, because he doesn't need the Rishus of the Kohanim in that situation. Because of the fact that we have this, when it comes to this halacha, that the Talmud Chacham precedes the Kohen, so therefore he would not have to, in other words, when we say those words, Rishus, Maranav, Rabbanav, Rabbosai, no one ever thinks what it means, but what you're really saying is that Rishus, that I'm doing this with their consent, meaning that I needed the, where do I come to be the one to lead the benching? So it's because I got permission from everybody else. That's an act of humility to say that. In the situation where there would be a Kohen, so then the Kohen really should be the one to do it. Now, the Kohen does have the right to be mochel his kavod. We'll discuss that. The Kohen has the right to be mochel his kavod in this situation, and therefore you could, if somebody else wanted to lead the benching, he could go over to the Kohen and say, would you mind if I, would you mind if I led the benching? And if the Kohen consented, then the person should say Birshus HaKohen or Birshus HaKohanim, because he really needed the Rishus of the Kohanim. He needed their permission, otherwise he shouldn't be doing it. However, if the person in question is the great Talmud Chacham who's found at this gathering, which I say commonly in a case of a shul, the rav of the shul would be leading the benching, so he does not need to say Birshus. He doesn't have to confer with the Kohen, he could go ahead and do it himself. But that, so thus we see the application in the poskim of this halacha of the kidashto is that the Kohen has to be given the first crack, but it's not an absolute. It's relative to the situation. All things being equal, if you have a choice between two people of relatively equal status, then the nod goes to the Kohen. But if it was a situation of a Talmud Chacham, then that would not be the case. This is the psak that we have here of the Shulchan Aruch, okay? But the Ramah said that if the Kohen is also a Talmud Chacham, even if he's greater than everybody else, then of course it goes to him. There's no question. He gets it on all accounts. If he's not of the stature of the other Chacham, so then really the other Chacham should get it. However, the Ramah said that it is tov lahakdimo, that it's good even in that case to give the honor to the Kohen. The Mishnah Berurah here in Sifkat Nayin Aleph on the bottom says that the Gemara says that a person who is scrupulous about giving honor to Kohanim will merit to have Arichas Yom. So therefore, there are several Kohanim present, so now we have a new appreciation if you give honor to the Kohanim. So the Chazal say this is a merit for Arichas Yom. So this is how it plays out when it comes to saying brachos. The same thing would be a kiddush and so forth. If a person is making a simcha and they have a Kohen present, you have to take into consideration there's a Kohen here. And if there is a Kohen, if there's a greater scholar, so then we see that the greater scholar gets it. But let's say that was not the case. The halacha that a Kohen is supposed to be honored applies in every situation. And the fact that he is a guest, you have a kiddush going on or whatever, but according to many opinions, even if you're making a simcha, there's a Kohen there, you have to at least check it out with him. You have to say, we'd like to honor someone in the family to do it. Is it okay? A Kohen has the ability to be mochel. A Kohen could say that I forego my honor in this situation, but it should be reckoned with. That is the case of Levarach Tchila. Now, the Gemara also said, the second thing the Gemara mentioned, was lito mana yofet chila, that when it comes to giving out portions, the Kohen should get the nice portion. What does this mean? So essentially what this means is a difference of opinion amongst the poskim what exactly this means. However, the Tosfos and Rashi on the page of the Gemara have slightly different opinions what it means. But Rashi's pshat, if you go back to page 1, Rashi on the side of the Gemara says that lito mani ofa tchila means that if a Kohen and a regular Yisrael are coming to divide up anything, whether they're dividing up property or they're dividing up food, and the portions are all divided equally, they're all equal portions, but they're not identical. In other words, you have different pieces of meat, or you have different pieces of land, or whatever it is, and they're all, you know, as far as the value of them, they're all of equal value, but in terms of, you know, they're not identical. The halacha is you're supposed to give the coin the first shot. You're supposed to give the coin you pick which one you want first. You're dividing up something, which one do you want first? When the food is being served and there's a choice on the platter of different portions to take, so the coin should be given the chance to choose that one first. This is the din of lito mani yafa tchila, which also, I don't think we're so careful about it, but this is the din in the Gemara, it's brought in the poskim, that a person is supposed to give the honor to the Kohen again in this situation. Okay, these are two ideas where, two scenarios where it comes up, and in each of these scenarios that we just mentioned, namely, giving him the right to say the bracha and giving him the choice of a portion, the halacha is it goes to the Kohen first. However, in these situations, the Kohen has the right of mechila. The Kohen could forego his honor and say that it's okay, I don't mind, and you know, please feel free, go right ahead and take for yourself first, or you say the bracha. That is the right of the Kohen in these scenarios. However, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, it's a different story. When it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, it's a different story. And if we refer back to the Gemara here on Daf Nuntes, so we see this actually in the Gemara itself. Because the Gemara says as follows, if you go to section that was marked off B on the sheet, so we read a couple of lines, then the Gemara says, Amalei Abaya or Rav Yosef. Abaya asked the following question to Rav Yosef. If you recall, the Mishnah had said that the reason why a Kohen is given the first Aliyah is because of Darkei Shalom, because of the ways of peace. So the Gemara asked the question, what do you mean it's because of the ways of peace? He said, Mipnei Darkei Shalom, Daraisahi. He says, this is a din daraisa. It's a pasuk. That we just told me that there's a pasuk v'kidashto that you're supposed to give special honor to the Kohen. So that's why the Kohen should get the first aliyah. Why does the Mishnah have to say that this was a rabbinic enactment that was made in order that there shouldn't be fights in shul? Why doesn't the Mishnah say a much better thing, that this is based on a pasuk in the Torah? And in fact, that being the case, there is no need for a rabbinic enactment because the Torah says you're supposed to give the honor to the Kohen. So the Gemara struggles with this question a little bit. And then finally, the Gemara comes out as follows. The Gemara says, if you go down to where I have marked off C, it's just the interest of saving time trying to be Makatzer. The Gemara says the following answer to this. The Gemara says that, the Gemara mentioned that when it comes to the idea of giving the Kohen preferential treatment at a meal, so it said, in bo lavo kavod l'rabo olamisha gadol mimenu harashus biyado, that the Kohen has the right of mechila, the Kohen has the right to pass off that which is coming to him to somebody else. Says the Gemara, v'omar mara la, however, in connection with this, the following statement was made. Lo shanu ela besuda, says the Gemara, that this is all speaking when it comes to a meal. Abo bebeis hakneses lo, but when it comes to the shul, then the right of the mechila is taken away from the Kohen. The Kohen cannot pass it off. The idea that the Kohen is supposed to get the first Aliyah is coming from two sources. V'kidashto, the original pasuk in the Torah that says you're supposed to honor the Kohen, that is really true. That's why you should give the Kohen the first Aliyah on that basis alone. However, if it were just for that, the Kohen would have the right to say, okay, it's fine, I got plenty of Aliyahs. You know, the shul, there is a large membership and there aren't that many Kohanim, and therefore I end up getting an Aliyah, you know, every other day, every other time we lane, and it's really not fair, so it's fine. However, the rabbis didn't want this, because in this situation, when it comes to shuls, apparently from way back when, shuls were prone to machlokas, and therefore they said that this we're not interested, because if the Kohen passes it off, then the honor of being called up to the Torah, the honor of being called up to the Torah is a great, great honor. So who are you going to give it to if the Kohen passes it off? If the Kohen says, no, it's fine, I got plenty of Aliyahs, give it to somebody else. It's fine, right? A good-natured person would say that. So then what's going to happen? So then you'll end up now who's the guy who would be a Gabbai's nightmare? Who are you going to give the Aliyah to? You're going to give it, you say, well, this person is the most outstanding person in the shul. That's not the opinion of every other person in the shul, because each one of them think that they are the most outstanding person in the shul. So therefore, that being the case, it would be tremendous amount of machlokas, says the Gemara, that when it comes to aliyahs, you're not allowed to pass it off to osulin suye, because it's going to lead to fights. And thus, we have the halacha that when it comes to an aliyah, the Kohen cannot be mobile. You have to give the first aliyah to a Kohen. It doesn't matter in any situation. The aliyah must be given to the Kohen. Yeah, I'm sorry.
What usually comes up is you've got two people.
Yeah.
That 2 Yisrael that have your.
Yahrzeit. That's okay. I'm going to discuss that right now. So this is this halacha poses a big challenge with the time-honored custom of a person on a yard site getting an aliyah, which is something which is a minig yisrael, which has the power of a halacha, and not only that, but it's an emotional type of thing where people feel that the honor given to the deceased is by them getting an aliyah, and a common question which comes up in shuls is that if it's a Monday or a Thursday, there's Kriyas HaTorah, and you have 2 Yisraelim who have Yahrzeit, so only one can get the Aliyah. Only one can get the Aliyah, and the one who's going to be left out, however they're going to decide that, this is, you know, you don't envy the one who has to make that decision. Truthfully, in such a situation, all things being equal, assuming they're both members of the shul, if they're not, the halacha is always that a person who's a member of a shul has the kedima over an outsider. But the assuming that, you know, all other things being equal, they should probably make some sort of a goral. They should just make some sort of lottery and decide who's going to get it. But obviously, in that situation, whoever is going to lose is going to say, this is ridiculous. It's because this guy, Katz, Cohen, hey, you know, who asked him to come to shul? He comes to shul every Monday and Thursday, a real nudnik, you know, who asked him to do that? And because he gets aliyahs 30, 40 aliyahs a year. And on my yard site, on the day that I have yard site for one of my close relatives, I'm getting bumped off because of this. So why don't we ask him to step aside? So this is a shaila, whether this can be done. Whether this can be done. Now, if you take what the Gemara just said, it would be very clear. It absolutely cannot be done. That's what we just said. However, the Gemara continues here. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Masna. The Gemara says, Rav Masna said, Hada Amrit, that we just said, that Bebeis HaKnesses Lo, that we just said, that in a shul, the Kohen cannot be mochel, says the Gemara, Lo Amaron Ela B'Shabbosos V'Yomim Tovim, T'Shchichei Rabim. This was only said in a situation of Shabbos and Yontif, when you have many, many people in the shul. So if you have many people in the shul, so then there's more capacity for machlokas, because, you know, whoever you're going to give, if you don't give the coin and you go by, you know, purely by judgment, who should get the first honor, who should get the second honor, so then the more people there are, the greater the likelihood that there's going to be an issue. However, says the Gemara, Avol b'sheni b'chamishi lo, but when it comes to Monday and Thursday, when you don't have so many people in the shul, then the din would be different. So says the Gemara. Now, if this statement in the Gemara stood, then it would come out that that would solve our problem. Because if two people have yahrzeit on a weekday, right, on Shabbos it wouldn't be a problem anyway, because on Shabbos you have multiple aliyahs. And on a weekday, so no problem. The Kohen could be mosel. The Kohen could say, I don't want it. And you'll say, well, what do you mean, but it's darkei shalom? So the answer is that there's not such a concern about darkei shalom when there aren't so many people around. However, Tosfos here on the top right of the page, the second Tosfos from the top, comes along and says something which is definitely not politically correct. Tosfos says, "Avo b'sheni v'chamishi lo omer Rabbeinu Tam." So Rabbeinu Tam said, "Hani mili lididhu." Rabbeinu Tam says that was in those days. That was in the time of the Gemara. The bichol havitridi b'malachton, because the people were so caught up in their work. The people, you know, in the old world, especially, you know, daylight was a precious commodity. They didn't have electricity. You could only work during the day. So people were so caught up in whether it was agricultural, whatever it was that they were doing, they had to get out at the crack of dawn. And therefore, on a working day, you didn't have many people in shul. V'lo shchichi, and therefore, and that's what the Gemara means, you didn't have so many people. However, in our case, it is common, says Rabbeinu Tam 800 years ago, that this is already in our times, it's more common that we have more people commonly in shul, and therefore he says, b'sheni v'chamishi kamo b'yontif. The Monday and Thursday is not that much different from yontif. And therefore, the psak of Tosus here on the page is that what the Gemara says would not impact on our situation. And thus, you would not have this a way of trying to accommodate everybody. And the truth of the matter is that this ruling made it into the poskim. If you turn to page 3, so we have here the halacha is that the Kohen is given the first aliyah, and if you look at the Mishnah Berurah for a second on the bottom right of the page, Sifkot and Tes Kohen Kara B'Torah Rishon. So on the first wide line, skipping the first few lines there, he says Avolinu Likros B'Torah B'Beis HaKnesses. When it comes to the laning in shul, Tiknu Chazal Mepnei Darkei Shalom. She'ein ha-kohen va'alevi yicholim limcho, that there cannot be a mechila, eladavka kohen rishon v'achor of levi v'achor of Yisroel. Alright, k'dei shelo yavo adomer lidei machlokas, should not come to a fight, she'kol echad yomer ani gadol, I am the greatest one and I should get the first honor. Says the Mishnah Berurah, ve'ein chiluk bein Shabbos v'yontif v'sheni v'chamishi u'shar zmanim shekarim behem. Mishnah Berurah says there is no difference by us. Following the lead of Rabbeinu Tam, the Mishnah Berurah says that by us there is no difference. Because people are in shul on all the days. It's not like on Monday or Thursday you have to struggle to pull together a minyan. You have people coming in the shuls. And therefore, this idea of the Kohen stepping aside would not be viable. What the Gemara said was speaking in a case where you had very few people in shul on those days. This is the psak of the Mishnah Berurah quoting the Prima Gadol. Now, it happens to be that in the tshuvas of Rav Moshe Feinstein, he said the tshuvas dated back to the 1950s. It's hard to know what he would say today, but in the America of the 1950s, he said, responding to a Rav who contacted him, that he had a shul where they had these issues that, you know, obviously, and it could happen anywhere, that you have these yard sites coinciding and so forth. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said that today, by us, a lot of shuls have a hard time getting a minyan during the week. And if that's the case, he says, then the ruling in the Gemara stands. He said, and you could rely on the lenient opinion of you could rely on what the Gemara said, that in a case of a need, that the Kohen could be mochel in a situation like that, the Kohen could say, it's fine. Now, whether that is still applies today is hard to know. It's hard to know because the state of American Jewry has gotten a far greater in the over the years, and therefore you go into shuls now and you see a minyan in a community such as this. You go into the shuls in the morning and you have Baruch Hashem a nice assembly of people. You have quite a few people are at the minyanim, and therefore one could say that who says that's still true? He may have been speaking back in the day when it wasn't so common that people went to shul during the week, people only went to shul on Shabbos, and so forth. But does it apply today? It's very difficult to know. The Mishnah Brura does not make any allocation for this. In other words, it should be noted that Reb Moshe Feinstein's Pesach is beyond what the Mishnah Brura is saying. The Mishnah Brura says that there is no difference, period. It's an unequivocal statement that there is no basis today to be lenient in this. There are people that say it could be done. There are people that said it could be done. I don't think any of the contemporary poskim said it, but back in the day, people said it, so it's hard to know. It's hard to know if it really applies. If, I would like to point out that if, in fact, it did apply, so then the Kohen would not need to walk out. In other words, some people think the Kohen will walk out, and then that helps the situation. If the Kohen could be mochel, then he doesn't have to walk out. I'm mochel, that's it. I can stay right where I am. I'm mochel on my right. If, on the other hand, he does not have the right of mechila, then for the Kohen to walk out is also questionable, because, well, first of all, he's going to miss the Kriya Satara. Where are you going? You're going to step outside. There's a mitzvah to give the Kohen the honor. So if there's a mitzvah to give, and not only is it a mitzvah, but we have the takana of Darkei Shalom. The rabbis specifically wanted that there should not be machlokas, that you should dafka give the aliyah to the Kohen. So it's that practice is, I didn't really see anywhere that the discussion of the practice that the Kohen will just slip out and try to head things off. It could be that it's done with the interest of preventing machlokas. You could make the argument that the whole thing is to prevent machlokas, and it is going to be a raging machlokas. But to say something that's beyond what the poskim said is very difficult. So therefore, that practice is highly questionable, and a person really should consult with the Rav of the Shul to see if that's really an acceptable solution for the problem. As I say, there were poskim who allowed it. Again, the heter would only be on a Monday or a Thursday. It's the only time you would have such a heter. On Shabbos, you probably wouldn't have the problem, but theoretically, if you did, right, if let's say you have a simcha going on and they need aliyahs, and the shul has a policy that they don't want to make hosafos, or they don't want to make more than one hosafos, whatever policy they have. So again, you say, get rid of the Kohen, send them out for a walk, go see if we can take Kiddush Levana, So therefore, in a situation like that is highly questionable. If you go on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you for sure could not do it during the week. The common practice today is that it's not done, from what I've seen, is that it's not done. But I guess on some level, it would still be the domain of the Rav to make that call. Yeah, yes. Okay. So that's a good point. Thank you for mentioning that. In other words, some say that the reason why the Kohen would walk out in a situation where he's not getting the Aliyah is because of the concern of Pegam HaKohen, because of the concern that if he stays in the shul, people may say that there's something wrong with his lineage, and therefore the Kohen would walk out for that reason. That is so. However, if this were permitted, if it was permitted to do such a thing, then they should announce the Gabbai, when he calls the person up to the Aliyah, should say, Yamod so-and-so, b'mechilas ha-Kohanim. In other words, that he is being called up to this Aliyah with the consent of the Kohanim. If that is announced, then there would be no concern of Pagan. But that's a very valid point, what you say. Okay, now, this is a discussion, but beyond this, the halacha most definitely is that the Kohen is supposed to be given the first aliyah, and not only that, but the halacha goes further and says that if there is no Levi, then the Kohen gets also the second Aliyah. The Kohen would be given the second Aliyah of Bimkom Levi, the same Kohen. You could not call up a second Kohen. You call up the same Kohen, and you would say that the Yamod HaKohen Bimkom HaLevi, which brings to mind the old joke that they say, that they tell the story of a town somewhere in Europe where there was a fellow who was his whole life passing himself off as a Kohen, and then one day it came out that in fact he was an imposter, that he wasn't a Kohen, but he had convinced everybody that he was, and yeah, meanwhile he had been collecting all the pinyon avens and all kinds of different things. So this was a tremendous disaster in the town and a scandal of the highest level. So they decided, what are they going to do? So they convened the Beis Din, and the Beis Din said, what could you do? You know, the most logical thing would be to give him Malkus. That we'll take him out, we'll give him Malkus. He has to be punished for his deeds. So they take him out. So they take him out to the courtyard of the shul, and they let him have it. So after the Malkus, after the 39th lash, this fellow begins to walk away. So the Gabbai says, hey, get back here. We're not finished with you yet. So the Kohen turns around and says, what do you mean not finished? You gave me the full 39 lashes. So the Gabbai says, yeah, that was for Kohen. Now it's for Kohen Levi. So you heard it? You heard it? I'm sorry. It's an old joke. Okay. So these are the halachas that we have. These are the halachas that we have as far as honoring the Kohen. There is one other area which actually is commonly not given the importance that it should be given, which all the Kohanim present will be delighted to hear this, and that is if you turn to page 4. So the Ramah says at the end of the halachos of Mesias Kapayim, the Ramah says a remarkable thing, which comes from the Rishonim. It says, "Asur l'shtamish b'kohen afilu b'zman hazeh," that it is forbidden to make use of a Kohen. You can't use a Kohen. What does it mean you can't use a Kohen? It means you can't ask a Kohen to do jobs for you. Even in our times, even b'zman hazeh, says the Ramah, "Dahavi k'mol behektish." Amazing thing, because it is like a person is using consecrated items for his own benefit. It's like he's using consecrated items for his own benefit, which we know is one of the Yisurim in the Torah, the serious thing, Me'ilah, and this is considered Mo'al Behektish, says the Shulchan Aruch, in Lo Shakohen Mochel Al-Kach. Unless the Kohen was Mochel. But if the Kohen was not Mochel, then it would be prohibited to ask the Kohen to do work for you. Why is this? Because the Kohen is still considered the Kedushaso even in our times. Now I just want to point out that, in other words, one might make the argument that if the whole source of giving honor to the Kohen is the pasuk that says V'kidashto ki aslechem elokecho v'makriv, that you should honor him because he brings the karbonos. So one might say, well, he's not bringing any karbonos now, so if that's the case, then that takes care of his honor. Yeah, then I'm
saying. Yes, Rabbi, please.
Yeah.
If someone does not get an aliyah due to the situation, should he be very happy that he's in the presence of minyan and just forget about it?
What's the other choice?
That's the joke. I'm saying that's a short choice. A person does not get an aliyah due to the situation.
Of course that's true. Of course it's true.
Sure.
He's
in the presence of a minion. And be happy with that and forget about it.
Yeah, he should be happy.
These problems would not exist.
No, but it's wrong to do. No, the thing is wrong to do. In other words, even by an aliyah, even if the calling is mochel, it's wrong to not give him the aliyah. Should he be upset is a different question.
It's not what I'm saying. Why throw him out? He's representing us.
Why tell him to leave, you're saying?
Why give him the feeling to walk out even?
No, I don't think you have to tell him to walk out other than Pagam, but Pagam.
I heard the old one in the past, I told him, why don't he walk out? What's the matter with him?
Okay, it's questionable whether you can do it. To get out of it is very questionable.
That's the Jewish tradition. You just look for the worst thing.
We'll look for the worst way. Okay, all right. No, to stop the fight in the shul, sometimes. counterproductive, because at least this way people have something to talk about, a good Lashon Hara to say. So, you know, who would want to stop a good fight from happening? But yet, we find that the Rabbanim were concerned about that, strangely enough, were concerned about that Chishol. So anyway, so we have like this. So the Psak HaLocha is that even Bizman HaZeh, that a Kohen does not offer Karbonos, so Kohen still has the same Kedusha. A Kohen still has the Kedusha. Therefore, all the restrictions of a Kohen apply. A Kohen cannot marry a divorced woman, a Grusha. A Kohen cannot go into a cemetery. These halachas are still in force today. And as such, we also have the flip side, that being the case, if he still has the Kedusha, then he has to be treated appropriately. So now, the question is, so what does this mean when it says that you can't make use of the Kohen? It's considered mal behektish. Now, you know, the Kohanim would be thinking to themselves, this is great, the next time my wife asks me to take out the garbage, I will say, well, I'm sorry, I'm a Kohen, and you're asking me to do something which is, you know, this is menial labor. I mean, it's a pasuk in the Torah, after all, the Kidashto, you're supposed to sanctify the Kohen. Darkei Shalom, but okay, so that, we'll see if that applies over here. So the shaila is this mutter or not? Now, the truth of the matter is that if you look in the Mishnah Brura down below, the very last line of Kufayin Hay, so the Mishnah Brura brings down a machlokas. The Mishnah Brura brings down a machlokas whether a Kohen can in fact be mogul on this type of thing. Whether a Kohen could say that that it's all right, I'll go ahead and do the work for you. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down two opinions in the poskim. The first one is that he says that that the Kohen is allowed to forego his honor, because when it comes to the honor of the Kohen, that's up to him. So therefore, it was the honor given to the Kohen was for his benefit. So if it is to his benefit not to do it, he has the right to say it's okay. However, the Mishnah Berurah then brings down a second opinion, which says that the Kohen can only give permission to do work for other people if he has some sort of benefit from it, if he's being paid, or if it's a prestigious type of thing to do. So there, not he's getting a benefit. Listen, I may be doing this job. It may not, you know. In other words, let's say the Kohen is a you want him to mow your lawn. Okay, so you say, well, the Kohen, this is not right. You're asking the Kohen to do such a job. The Kohen has to be, you can't make use of him. He's a holy man. So the according to one opinion, he could just be mochel outright. He could say, it's okay, I don't mind doing it. The other opinion says that he can only be mochel in a situation where it's to his benefit. If he's going to be paid, or in a case where it might be prestigious to do it for whatever reason, so then he would be allowed to do it, but if not, not. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah concludes by saying that this all applies to things which are just, you know, mundane type of activities. But ulishtamish bahem shiruyos bizuyos, but to give the Kohen to do jobs which are embarrassing or degrading, so then, bevada yesh li zoher. So then we have the psak. Then we have a psak that the Kohen cannot do under any circumstances, and even a mechil would not help. That is what the Shulchan Aruch. That's what the way the Mishnah Berurah comes out. In other words, when it comes to things which are just run of the mill, so then there's room for debate. And even though the Mishnah Berurah says better to be machmir, but there are already, you know, people who say that you could be lenient. But if it's bozoi, if it's the type of thing that's an embarrassment to do, or it's something which is an embarrassing type of activity, so then the Kohen can't do it even with a mechila. So the question then is, getting back to, so how does his wife tell him to take out the garbage? Or can he ever do such a thing? Right now, it should be pointed out that it would not help in this situation, even if his wife herself was a Kohen, because the mitzvah of the Kiddush applies even to Kohanim. In other words, so therefore, you can't, a Kohen can't tell another Kohen, go take out the garbage. So therefore, that would not help anyway. I don't know how commonly you have that a Kohen is married to a Kohen, But the fact is that this would be a shiloh. Another shiloh would be, you know, in let's say the toilet needs to be plunged in the house, right? So the, you know, the case which comes up. And now can the Kohen go take go ahead and say, I'm going to do this? This is a Tashmish Bozli. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, what's that?
It's his car.
I understand. It's his thing. But it's a Tashmish Bozli. Lamais, it's not just his. It's the household's problem. If it's the household's problem, he's not allowed to do it. So the halacha is like this. So the poskim say here, there's a lot of different levels that are made here, and essentially what they say is that if it's the type of thing that's routine daily activity, if it's a routine activity that's commonly everybody does it, it's done all the time, it's part of life, so then that's not what's called shiburios bezuyos. In other words, taking out the garbage, that's part of life. You have to take out the garbage. So that is not called a specific act that you ask the Kohen to do a degrading thing. That's routine. That's part of life. And so too the other example which I gave, or anything like that, in a situation where this is it's normal life. If it's normal life, that does not go. The poskim say that it does not go into the category of shiruyos bezuyos. It does not go into the category of degrading activities. However, if you have, for example, a situation where a Kohen wants to go ahead and take a job as a person who does that. Let's say a Kohen wants to apply for a job as a garbage man. Right? He's going to be the one that's going to come and take out the garbage. So that, it could be a question if he on his own steps forward and says, now no one asked him to do it. He wants the job. So if he wants the job, so we saw over here that if he gets a hanah, then he would be allowed to do it. On the other hand, we also saw that if it's something which is bozoi, then he would not be allowed to do it even if he gets a hanah. However, a lot of poskim say that when it comes to a job, so generally speaking, it's not embarrassing. It's a job. It's a respectable job. People, they get paid. It's a job like anyone else has. So that would be perhaps there are people who say that perhaps that would be considered different. That if he on his own applies for a job, the sanitation department has openings, and a Kohen wants to go ahead and apply for that job, so then there are those who say that would be okay also, because this is, first of all, it's his own initiative. You're not telling him to do it. And second of all, it's an honest living. So, you can't say that's what the halacha means. Rather, what the halacha means is that if you have a Kohen who is in your employ in general, to go, and let's say the boss of the company has employees, right? And he has working for him a number of people, including Kohanim. And somebody has to take out the garbage, right? So they don't have a maintenance crew in this company yet. They're not up to that, right? So they have the workers. So then to say to the Kohen, Katz, you go take out the cone, you go take out the garbage, that would be more of a question. In other words, if for somebody, for Yisrael or a lady for that matter, to put it on him, that's really where the issue comes up. But if it's his own situation, if it's a routine type of thing, like a person in his household, where this is it's normal life, everybody does this, right? For going, let's say, to diaper his child or something like that, that's normal life. So that there's no question. For a Kohen to apply for a position which would require, what some people might consider, it's a messy type of job, so then also there's room to be makel. But the main thing is for people, if it's a general type of relationship, to say, why don't you do that? That already is a big question. Even Bismanenu, that is a big question if that could be given to the Kohen. And I would just end off by saying that the Poskim say that if this is true about the way we have to treat Kohanim, so then it certainly is true that when the Torah says that you're not allowed to embarrass a person, or you're not allowed to say Lashon Hara on a person, which is applies by all Jews, but by a Kohen it's even worse. In other words, if you're saying it about a Kohen, if the person says Lashon Hara about a Kohen, so then aside from the violation of Lashon Hara, which is universal, why any Jew makes no difference, but here you have the additional problem of also what kind of way is that to honor the Kohen? It's disgraceful to say such a thing. Well, to embarrass him or anything like that, that would definitely be usher in this topic of the Kiddushto. So how it plays out, this particular halacha is not so well known, and how exactly it plays out requires, you know, some investigation. But at the very least, in a group setting, it is true that even Bismanenu, it is preferable if a group of people get together and who should clean the table, don't give it to the Kohen. Let somebody else clean the table. The question was asked, how much of this applies to the Bas Kohen, a female Kohen? The answer is that the Post can say that this prohibition does not carry to all of them, do not carry to the Bas Kohen, because for this purpose we take the pasuk that says that because the Kohen's sanctity is because he brings the karbonos, so even though the daughter of the Kohen, she's a Kohen, but nevertheless it's not the same standard. And by the way, the halacha is that a female Kohen is allowed to go into a cemetery.